Guten Erev Shabbos to everybody. Shabbos Shuvah is upon us as we prepare for Yom HaKippurim, Haba Aleinu L'Tova, Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, Yom HaGadol, VeHaKadosh, VeHanora, and at the same time, the happiest day on the Jewish calendar, LaHoyu Yomim Tovim LeYisrael Ki Yom HaKippurim. There are happier days on the calendar than Yom Kippurim. So hard to be delivering this drasha to you from afar. I'm pained not to see your faces and the reaction to the tzibur as you would sit ordinarily. But either way, we have to prepare for Yom Kippur. My heart is with you, and I hope yours with mine. As we work together, as we pine and climb closer to the holiest day of the Jewish year, let's talk about what our avoda is. What is our responsibility? How do we approach Yom Kippur? And how should we work positively on this Yom HaKippurim as well? I read just this week a beautiful story written by Rabbi Yaakov Feitman, quoting Rabbi Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky, who recounted a story from several hundred years ago in Germany. There was a young boy who was kidnapped, abducted, and it was found out that it was the local church who took this young child. Historically, we know that there were such cases. And the parents of this boy got wind of what had occurred and approached the local clerics. And it asked them to return their child, and the church said, La hadam lo hayu dvar me'olam, there's no such thing. We didn't take your child. Ultimately, the parents were successful in pleading their case and bringing it in front of the local court, and the day came when their docket was ready to be prepared. And the parents of this child come, and the clerics come to defend themselves. And the parents plead their side in their case about their child. The clerics say, certainly, if this is your child, we absolutely want to return him. But just ask the child, is these his parents? And the young boy turns and he says, no, I want to stay with my foster parents. He was wined and dined and completely brainwashed that he would not return to his real parents. And the parents returned home dejected, depressed, saddened, and the only thing that they could think about was to hire a local lawyer who spoke the native tongue of German to plead their case and to explain their situation better than maybe the judge would be able to understand where they were coming from. And several weeks later, the case again was reopened, and slowly this case began to receive more publicity, and the judge needed to be cautious, careful, and deliberate both sides, and the judge listened to the lawyer's pleadings. And it described what the idea was in order to prove this case further. And the lawyer said, here's the idea. This child has been lost from his parents for several years. And no child will be able to return to his parents without somewhat of a reunion. Allow this child to return home for 2 weeks under close watch. And that will be sufficient in order to tell if this is really the child of these parents or not. The judge listened, the judge heard, he said, I understand, I hear, but I'm willing to give 5 minutes. 5 minutes only for the parents and the children to reunite, and that should be enough to determine whether or not indeed this is the child of these parents. The parents were frightened, scared, returned home, and went to speak to their local Rav, the well-known author of the Sefer Nachal Eshkol, a wise, sensitive rabbi, who said, indeed, the judge is correct. All you need is 5 minutes. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to go to court. I'm going to plead your side. You stay home, you daven. It's up to me to make this happen. And several days later, the rabbi came, dressed in his white garb, as was customary for the rabbinate, came to the court and went in front of the court, in front of the judge, and slowly started humming the tune to Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre, ya 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 ya, na 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 na, diridaram, and louder and louder. And slowly tears came down the child's face. And the child ran to the Rebbe, to the Nachal Eshkol. And the Nachal Eshkol turned to him and said, are you a Jew or are you a Gentile? Do you want this world or the world to come? And the child completely broke down and said, Rabbi, Rebbe, I'm a Jew. He said, if so, take my hand and I'll walk you home. And indeed he walked home with a Rav, and the end of the story was their beautiful reunion. Every day of the year, we have this struggle and tension and tug of war between the neshama and the guf, the body and the soul, olam hazeh and olam haba. And we are always in turmoil, disillusion. Which will win? Will the body overcome the soul, or will the soul uplift the body? And comes Leil Kol Nidre, we enter Shul, and we hear the tune of Kol Nidre. Ah, ya, 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 ma, 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 ma. And we're stirred. And when we hear that song, and we hear those words, and then Baruch Hu, our soul is revealed. And slowly the guf, the body, begins to take second fiddle to the soul as the soul emerges on this very day. Because Yom Kippur is the Yom HaNesham, it's the day of the soul. The body is blunted. We don't engage in any physical activity. We don't eat, we don't drink, we don't bathe, we don't anoint ourselves, we don't even wear leather shoes, because leather is na'alayim. Na'al is not wool, locked. We can't be locked in to our body anymore. The entire year we are charged that our neshama should uplift the physical and that we should work with our bodies. But one day a year, Yom HaGadol VeHaKadosh VeHaNora Yom HaKippurim HaBa'aleinu LeTova, it's blunted, the physical body. The guf is put aside, and we are angelic. We wear white, we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't engage in any physical activity. And then a neshama emerges and shines. And the avoda of Yom Kippur is to reconnect our neshama, Eloka Mimal, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reunite. Just like the child is reunited with his parents with that nigun of Kol Nidre, the nigun in the songs, the tfilos, the machzer of Yom Kippur is supposed to charge us and to bring out that neshama tahorahi that often gets locked up, na'ul, with a na'alayim. And that's why throughout Yom Kippur we say, bogadnu. Bogadnu means we are traitors, we're rebels. Bogadnu comes from the word beged. Beged, our clothing. You know why we've rebelled? It's our beged, it's our clothing, it's our exterior that's caused our troubles and our sins and our transgressions. It's not the real me. It's my begadim, bogadnu. I'm a traitor because the things that are happening externally, it's not really me. It's my begadim. It's my na'alayim. So comes Yom Kippur, we take off our regular clothes, we remove our shoes, we put on our white garments. We wear different types of shoes, different type of clothing. And when we hear those songs and those nigunim and those passionate words, we clap al chet and vidui, we say we're connecting, we're reconnecting with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the entire story, the way the Vilna Gaon understands in his commentary to Yonah, based upon the Zohar and the Mekubalim, that the Navi of Maftir Yonah that we read on Mincha is a mashal, is a parable to the soul. Yonah is a soul sent down into this world with a mission, something to do. And when Yonah sent to Tarshish, that's Olam Hazeh, he's frightened and scared and he doesn't want to go on his mission, and all he wants to do is to stick his head in the sand and to hide and to run. But the soul emerges and begins to run after and says, where are you going? Fulfill your mission. And Yonah gets on the ship and there's turbulence, and that's the guf and the neshama fighting each other. The tension, the tug of war that we've described. And it's insurmountable, and Yonah's unable to deal with this tension. The guf and the neshama are fighting and the guf is overwhelming. And what does Yonah do? He goes to sleep. He doesn't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with this challenge, with this struggle, with this tension. And he's sleeping because he doesn't want his neshama to emerge. Until the Rav Achova, the captain, says, Malacha Nirdam, why are you sleeping, Yonah? You're a soul, you're a neshama, you're a chelek elokam mimal. You need to connect with your Creator. Kum, Likras, Elokech, Israel, go greet your Creator, Kadosh Baruch Hu, God Almighty. And finally, Yonah wakes up from his slumber, from his sleep, and the neshama wakes up. Until it reconnects and recognizes that it has a mission to do. And Yonah goes, and he succeeds in his mission. And that's why we read them after Yonah and Yom Kippur, to tell us that our soul needs to be revealed, it has to come out, it has to emerge, and Yom Kippur is that day. And it's the time that we could reconnect. And that's why Ne'ilah that follows, after Yonah, the refrain that repeats itself is, L'manecht al me'oshek ragleinu, we speak about stealing. Why stealing of all the sins? We're not robbers. We didn't steal anything, or did we? And the Sefer Shaila Torah quotes from Salvechik, who explains that yes, we did steal. We stole our neshama. We weren't addressing it. We were hiding it. We were sleeping. It was blunt. Comes Yom Kippur, we blunt the physical body, the guf. No more begotten that are ordinary. No more not aligned that are regular. And we say it's time to focus on the neshama. It's a reality. It's real. It's a chelek elokam imam. We have to furnish it. We have to fashion it. We have to polish it. It's real. And of course, it's no coincidence. Those whose custom it is to say Yizkor, that was the intent to specifically recite Yizkor today when it was initiated. Because Yizkor's mazkir neshamos, we recall, reflect the neshamos that are no longer. And what greater day for a soul that's no longer to connect with a soul that's here than Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the day of the neshama, it's the day of the soul. And thus Yizkor, we're mazkir the neshamos because the souls can connect in such a deep way in Yom Kippur, because today we are a soul. And the physical body is blunted, it's hidden, it takes a second step because the neshama has to emerge. We have to recognize that a neshama is real. It needs to be taken care of. And in Yom Kippur it emerges, and all it wants to do is to soar back to its creator. Just like the child was waiting to return to his parents, and just like Yonah was returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to his mission in life, so too we, every Yom Kippur, are waiting to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is calling out and crying to us. But it's not just that we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying out to us in Yom Kippur. By Ephraim Waxman, tells the following powerful mashal to explain. Imagine a parent has a very beautiful gift that he knows his child wants. It's several hundred dollars, a very valuable gift, and the parents are unable to afford it, or they're unable to give it to their child. $500-$600 is an enormous amount of money for a particular gift that the child wants for no specific occasion. But the day comes, the parent is going home from work and sees from the corner of his eye as he's driving home that the gift is on sale, half price, $200. The father and the mother jet out of the car, they run into the store, they pick it up and are so excited to return home to give it to the child, they can't believe it. It's a steal. And the father's rushing home, he gets to the door and his wife stops and says, "You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe what your daughter did. You're not going to believe what your son did. They require a scolding. He or she did this, they did it appropriately, they acted wrong." The father's thinking to himself, "I can't believe it. I have this gift, all I want to do is to give it to my child. It's so special, so unique, all the child wants is this gift, and now I can't give it, but more than that, I have to scold the child." And the father doesn't know what to do. And he goes up to the child's room and he says to the child, "Do me a favor, I have a present for you. I have something so precious for you. Just say I'm sorry. Just apologize, admit your guilt, acknowledge you did something wrong, and I'll give you the present that I have." Comes Yom Kippur, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I have a present for you. I have life, I have chayim, I have everything for you. Just say I'm sorry, admit you made a mistake, admit that your physical body overtook your neshama. But today the neshama's day. Say I'm sorry, apologize, acknowledge me, look out to me, cry out to me, I'm waiting for you. And then I have a present that's so precious, that's so dear, it's called Chaim, Chaim Tovim, a good happy life. We'll reconnect physically, spiritually. I'll give you what you want, sustenance, bounty, goodness, kindness, happiness, sustenance, financially, whatever it is. But just say I'm sorry." And Yom Kippur we say I'm sorry, because we're able to reconnect, because we are so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the avodah of the day, that our neshama reappears in a way that it doesn't throughout the year. It's such an opportunity. It'd be worthwhile to have Yom Kippur once every 10 years or 20 years. But we have the present on an annual basis, Yom Tishrei, the most special, holy, happy day of the year. It's the ultimate connection, the ultimate reunion, the ultimate bond, the ultimate marriage. That's the happiness, that's the joy, that's the fear. Because with this opportunity comes an obligation to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to say, "Elokai, neshama shenasata bi tahori, the neshama that you gave me so precious, it's so pure, it's so holy. Ata verasa, ata yatzarta, ata nefachta bi, ata neshama rabbi kirbi, vata asi litla mimeni, lachzir bi lasi lavo." It's a reality. It's real. We can't touch it, we can't see it, but our neshama is pining and yearning for this connection. And comes Yom Kippur, it's given to us. One of the things that I've learned from the COVID experience is that we're very stringent because there's so much that we don't know. And we need to be stringent because there's so many questions and things that we're unaware of. And chalila, chalila, we should make mistakes. We're very, very stringent, appropriately, because who knows? And it made me think, What about the neshama? Are we machmir enough? We don't know it, we don't see it, we don't touch it. But are we being careful to guard it, to watch it, to take care of it? Are we extra stringent? Because who knows? We also don't see it and can't touch it, can't feel it, can't look at it and grab it. But it's a reality. Neshama shenasata b'tahorei. This year, let's touch it. Let's be more machmir. Let's make sure not to abuse it. And chalila, chalila, not to take advantage of this precious neshama that we have. That's the avoda of Yom Kippur. And that's what we'll try to do this year. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the strength to really touch it, to really feel it, wherever you are, at home or in shul. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come close. Pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal Himself. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol lashon shel bakasha to send us all health and success. Beruchnius ubegashmius, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to connect with us. That you want that relationship. You desire that kesher with the Borei Olam. What's more important than that reunion? May that reunion be a powerful one, a passionate one, a loving one, an extraordinary one, a joyous one. This Yom Kippur more than ever. And may we be zocha to be together. L'shan haba b'Yerushalayim habanuya b'simcha v'tuv lev. A good Geben Shtior, a happy and healthy year. Gemar Chasima Tova to everybody.